Shane Lowry, how are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks. Well, I'm as good as I can be.
Golf Weekly, exclusively available on Patreon. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Now, the GPA are this morning announcing that 100 female intercounty players are to benefit from scholarship funding. This is double the number previously available before the merger of the GPA and the WGPA. One of the GPA's next-gen leaders is Vicky Wall from Meath, and I'm delighted to say Vicky is with us this morning. Good morning to you. How are you doing, Vicky?
Morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. What is a next-gen leader, as a matter of interest?
Yeah, so it's a new programme that the WGPA and the GPA have set up. I suppose it's to get current players, young players, I think the age bracket was between 20 and 25, and just, I suppose, integrate us into the operations behind the WGPA and the GPA and how they fight for things like equality and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting programme so far.
Okay, so it's actually getting you guys involved in the workings of the association.
Yeah, exactly. So I suppose we're in the early stages now. It's a year-long programme. We've kind of filtered ourselves into teams based on the different pillars within the WGPA and the GPA. So yeah, it's time.
The other thing that they're announcing today is the increase in the surge in the number of scholarships. And I guess this is the immediate dividend that you get from aligning two organisations that were in their own rights very powerful, but actually by coming together, you see that magnified quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to receive it the last few years at WGPA, and I know that they've increased it from 55 members to 100 members this year. So, I mean, that's nearly doubling it. So I think if that's a sign of the amalgamation, I think it's going to be positive going forward anyway.
Yeah, it seemed like the amalgamation was a fairly obvious thing to do. And it seems like the players are kind of driving the organisation at the structural level forwards, kind of dragging them kicking and screaming behind you.
Yeah, look, I think the WGPA and GPA are doing it the right way. They're getting players involved in every process of the way. And I think, obviously, the players are the key people in these decisions. So I think it's obviously so critical to have them involved in those decisions.
Was it an obvious thing for you as a player to also get involved in the administration? Because a lot of players are a little bit reticent. They're like, oh, I'll do that when I'm finished playing. But actually, if you're in the midst of it now, having your voice heard is kind of almost more important than when you're retired.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, look, there's been plenty of things about ladies football and camogie people giving out the last few years on Twitter and the likes of that. So I think I probably would have been one of those people. So I think it's important to put my money where my mouth is. So just to actually be involved in it and to try make an actual difference. So I think that was one of the key things that made me want to get involved with this Next Gen Leader programme. Yeah.
One of the other reasons that people don't get involved is that they think that it'll come back on them, and that if their performances dip in any way, somebody's going to point to, oh, you know, too busy getting involved in the union to actually play well. But you've just had a pretty good year there, Vicky, so maybe, you know, you're the perfect person to be talking to today.
Yeah, no, I've had a good year. So yeah, we won the All-Ireland at Meath, so that we finally got over that step of intermediate, and we're up to senior this year. So yeah, we're absolutely delighted.
It clearly wasn't a distraction then.
No, well, it didn't start till after the All-Ireland, so I don't know if that has anything to play with it, but not a distraction at the moment anyway.
You mentioned there you finally got over the line last year. Can you talk us through that process of knocking at the door for so long and then finally the relief of getting the job done?
Yeah, so I definitely think we went through a transitional period with Meath in the last few years. We lost two All-Irelands there, 2018, 2019, against Tyrone and Tip, two really strong teams. So I think the third year, you kind of just have to go eight shackles off, just play with absolutely no fear, and I think we were able to do that. We were able to perform in Croke Park this year at long last, so yeah, we were delighted.
It's really interesting seeing these teams come along and stumble at the final hurdle year after year. Is there a definite change that happens in year three, or is it just the collective getting stronger, and I guess the age profile of the team being in a good place those first couple of years as well?
Yeah, look, we still have a really young team. I mean, like, Dougie playing beside me, she's 18. Like, so we definitely do have a lot of young players. But I think the first year going in, you're kind of oblivious to, like, I never would have even played in Croke Park before that or experienced that kind of thing. So you're almost taking in the occasion more so than the job at hand. And I think the second year, I think we really had our head screwed on. I just think Tip were stronger on the day, and they took their goal opportunities. So I suppose year two, we weren't going to enjoy the occasion. We really had a job to do. And then I think when you get back there for the third chance, you're kind of thinking, like, we really, really, really have to do it this time. So, yeah, I think it was a mix of experience and then hunger as well this year that got us over the line.
I'm sure people have seen the goal in the final. Like, I mean, there's been some unbelievable goals scored in last year's championship. The solo off the left, the shot off the right into the top right corner at a pretty pivotal point in the game as well. Like, do you remember thinking at that point, Vicky, God, this is an absolute worldie I'm after scoring?
Absolutely not. I was like, there, you need to get another score straight away after. We were still down, I think, when we got that goal. So that definitely wasn't going through my head. But yeah, look, Sarah just got off the pitch. I suppose there was a bit of anger there seeing her leave the pitch. And yeah, I think we all knew we needed a goal. So whether it was going to come from me or someone else, I think we needed a goal at that stage.
So it's your sister who's after going off injured and you're like, right, I'm angry now. And that's the product of it.
Yeah, we'll put it down to that. I can give the credit to Sarah for that one. So
it's interesting when we look at that 3-year period of knocking on the door and then getting over the line last year. It's a bit longer than that, though, isn't it? It goes back to 2015, I think, and that experience against Cork. For people who probably aren't realised, could you tell us a little bit about that and how long this project was in the making for you to get back to a level where you're really satisfied with being one of the best teams around?
Yeah, so I think the Meath team went through a transitional period where a lot of the older girls retired. I mean, they'd given 10, 12 years of service, so there was absolutely no begrudgement there. But so I joined 2015, the panel when I was 16. Yeah, so in the first 3 years, I think we had 3 different sets of management as well. So I suppose that had an effect on it as well. But yeah, we played a game against Cork in the senior championship. We lost by 40 points and it was up there one of the worst days that I've been involved in playing with Meath. You know, it was really tough to take. And we were asking girls to play a few good days before the game. You know, people, I was asking their names on the day of the game. So it's definitely not an ideal situation when you're going out against the likes of Cork, who are literally phenomenal and have always been. So that was definitely a tough moment. And I think we had a few other tough moments. You know, when I joined the first 2 years, we went down from senior to intermediate and then Division 2, Division 3. So it's taken a while. We're back up in Division 2, back up in senior now, but it definitely wasn't an easy road. And I think maybe that has a part to play in the determination in the team at the moment. There still is a good chunk of us that have been involved in that period where we got relegated for both those grades. So I think that hurt will definitely drive us on now and hopefully stick with us in senior.
It must have been a weird scenario to be ringing people to come play for their county. Like, I'd imagine that was a dream for you all along, and then you get into the inter-county squad so young, and one of the first years you're playing, you're calling up people to join you on the team.
Yeah, I think maybe I was definitely naive when I was first up there. You know, like you said, it's a dream. So I was still playing minor, but I was on the senior team and I thought this was just the best thing. And then you turned up to train and then there's not numbers there or you're struggling to get a team. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. You know, I was obviously too young to be driving myself. So dad would be driving me everywhere and I'd kind of be like, I just gobsmacked. I was like, why would people not be jumping at this opportunity? But I suppose when your team's not doing great, it's kind of easy not to get involved. Yeah, so definitely was difficult the first few years, and being so young like that, it was hard to try to understand like why you would be ringing people the day before a game to join a county team. But I think we're over that problem now, and there's really strong teams underage in Meath, so hopefully we won't be going through that period for a long time.
What changed?
Oh. Personally, I think it's down to the management we have at the moment. I think there was a few rocky periods with different managers and stuff like that, just trying to keep a collective group together. So we have Eamon Murray in now, and Paul Garrigan and Shane and a few of the other lads. And I think the polar opposites is Paul and Eamon. You know, Eamon just wears his heart on his sleeve, and if he's happy, you'll know. If he's sad, you'll know very easily. So he's kind of the one that got all the players back together. He'd have really good relationships with all the girls in the team. So I think that was one of his strengths. And then Paul just came with just a plan. He just knew exactly what he wanted, what he wanted to achieve. I remember the first day when he turned up, he had PowerPoints and all, and he went through everything thing with us. And he showed us one thing that sticks with me is where we were out of the 32 counties in ladies football in Meath. And it just wasn't where we wanted to be, like where he thought we were ranked. So I think from the get-go, he came in and he knew what he wanted to achieve. And we've achieved a few of those things now. We're back playing senior, so I'm sure he'll be back with another plan. So yeah, we're excited for that.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Jim McGuinness did as well. The Sunday Tribune had ranked every GAA county, every Gaelic football team, and Donegal were way down. kind of mid-teens or late teens, a bit like Owen's power rankings. And that was the humiliation that everybody needed to get together, and ultimately they went on to win All-Ireland. Like, is that the ambition at some point in the next couple of years to be genuine All-Ireland contenders? Because obviously, you know, we've seen teams come and really stick it up to Dublin. Like, the Dublin women's football team aren't quite as dominant, even though they've won the last three, as the men's team. They're not entirely unbeatable.
Yeah, look, I suppose, personally anyway, like I played Dublin there in 2016 Summer Hill, and maybe even then when we were struggling, I still would have had still would have had hope that we could beat them. But now definitely more so, I'm confident in the team we have that we can go up and compete. You know, I think in 2018, if we'd gone up against Tyrone, I don't think we would have survived. I think we would have come straight back down. Now I think we have the building done, and we have a good team, and we've new minors in this year, so it's fresh people in on the panel. So I really do believe that we can go up to senior and properly compete. And yeah, like you say, obviously you're going up to senior, the goal is an All-Ireland final, I think, whatever grade you're competing in.
And the other thing is that there's been a boom in coverage, so the intermediate games are now on TV as well. The reasons for people to hopefully to drop out are fewer, the support structures are better, the success of the GPA, for example, it all builds to a picture where it's much more sustainable for young women to play and to play consistently at a high level.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this year, because of the fact that people couldn't go to the games, a lot of the games were streamed, a lot of the games were on even Facebook Live or TG Cahir. And I think the fact that it was almost forced to that, I think, like, why won't it continue? Like, even next year when hopefully people can get back to games, why wouldn't we continue to stream the games? And, you know, even the likes, as I mentioned the other day, we don't, like, if you've a match on a Sunday, you're probably not going to be travelling down to view them. Match and another county match that's on Saturday just for preparation purposes. So I think even the fact that you got to sit at home on a Saturday and watch it, I think it will encourage a lot more people next year to be able to go out and get to see them. And like the increased exposure is never going to be a bad thing for the game.
Vicky, you spoke very publicly last week and very powerfully about some of the sledging that you'd suffered when you were playing Gaelic football over a number of years. I'm always interested when people decide to go public about something like this. You know, you're kind of putting yourself up as somebody who almost inadvertently becomes a leader in that area. And I think it's really important that people do stand up and do talk about these things, because, you know, just recently we've had lots of examples where social media has become a huge talking point around James McLean, for example, and the abuse that he has suffered. But actually, this happens at matches too. And your examples were real life, everyday, actually in-person examples of people saying horrific stuff.
Yeah, I suppose I'm lucky in the sense that I haven't received that online. I think, to be honest with you, it would be a lot more hard to deal with if it was online. I mean, that doesn't go away. At least if when you leave a match, the people leave as well. So I think the fact that we have our phones in our hands all day, every day, I think that's a serious problem. But yeah, for me personally, it was in person. It was probably more in the club scene than county scene than anything. And like I said, like it was, I don't know if I'd fully thought about it before I went on the TG Cahir interview, the effect that it was going to have. I really, really didn't think it would have this response, and it's been hugely positive. But yeah, look, I'm not the first person to put on weight during my leaving cert. I'm not claiming for that, but I suppose I put on a significant amount in between 2017 and 2019. It definitely affected the way I played. You know, in 2015, we won the Club All-Ireland, and I would have been a lot fitter then, and I suppose just the way I could play. So I think as much as the people saying things on the sideline and stuff like that definitely did have an effect on me when I look back on it, I think after the 2019 All-Ireland, it was more of a self-evaluation of, like, am I achieving what I can achieve? Am I performing to the best I can perform? And no, it wasn't. And the weight definitely did have a part to play in that. So I think, yeah, look, I think now that I'm a lot more confident in myself and who I am, I think if those things are said again, I just think it's not going to affect me. But it definitely was a learning curve, and it didn't come overnight either.
We really need people not to be saying stuff, though. Like, that's,
yeah.
You know, that's the, it's, none of this is anybody's business. And, like, we all know the impact that talking about body image can have on anybody at any stage of their lives, but particularly when somebody's young.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a good point as well, the fact that, like, we look at a lot of the dropout rates in ladies football, and it is at those pivotal teenage years. And I think when you're that age, you are vulnerable, and like if it's something you're conscious about in your own mind, in your bedroom or something like that, like when someone's saying it in public and you're hearing it on the sideline, and you know your teammates or your family or anything you're hearing, I think it definitely does have a big impact. And I think it's something that we definitely need to probably do look into more, just because we're talking about these dropout rates. But I mean, if if it's undereating, overeating, I think there's definitely there's no place for it to be mentioned on a pitch.
Vicky, was the sledging coming from the person who was marking you on the pitch? Was it just opposition players?
No, I personally probably would say a bit more management than players. Obviously, there is small amount of players, but from my own experience, it was more so managers.
That's shocking. Like, really shocking that somebody who's supposed to be in the leadership position of the opposition team thought that this was somehow appropriate.
Yeah, look, I suppose I tried to look at it in the sense of, I'm obviously doing something well if they're trying to do this, but I think you can only have that mindset for so long, and I think it definitely does have an effect on you when it's a 45 year old man standing on the sideline roaring abuse at you. And like I said, I got a phone call the next day apologising from one of them in particular. But I just think, yeah, it's a strange concept. Like, I think of my dad and myself and Sarah who are we're young female girls, and I just think if I heard my dad talking like that to anyone on my team, I think I'd just be absolutely disgusted. So yeah, it's a strange one, and I think a lot of the time due to the management, they probably do have a relation to some of the girls on the team. So I think it is a very strange idea to think of, to when you put it in perspective of if it was my own father saying those type of things.
Yeah. Like, is there anything that can be done? You know, because, for example, there are very clear protocols in place for if a referee hears racial abuse, they are supposed to stop games and they're supposed to take action immediately. Now, I'm not sure that it happens the way that it's supposed to, but like, there's probably a long list of things that actually we should just say, you can't say these things. Like, on a sideline, you have a duty of care, and whatever you're saying could be very harmful to somebody. You don't know what somebody else is going through.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the ideal situation, but I just don't know how feasible that is. Especially at a GA match, you know, it's hard to control the numbers if it's at normal times and everything like that. I kind of had this conversation with my mum and dad over the weekend, and I suppose I've probably talked to them a bit more about it since I have a TG car. And my mom was even saying, you know, should we probably have said something, but like, should we have said more? Like, as in she'd witnessed it, she was in the stand, she heard it as well. And she kind of was of the opinion that you don't want to be feeding into these people, you don't want to be getting involved with them and like letting them talk more. And just like, she took the stance of just ignoring it and continuing on. But I suppose it's kind of hard to know what the best outcome to do is during that time.
I think that's a real generational thing, to be honest. Like, I definitely, and I'm kind of in the middle of that. So in the Sunday papers, Neil Francis was saying, oh, look, you know, we just need to get off social media and ignore all this stuff. And I think Brawley was saying something fairly similar about James McLean at the weekend, a bit more nuanced. And then the athletes, the Olympians, have now come up with a don't scroll by. And they're saying, hang on a second, no, we're going to call this out. We're going to use our platforms to say this is unacceptable. And I kind of feel like previously I would have been, don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the trolls, they'll go away. But that actually doesn't happen. What happens is that their little circle of people who they're telling the joke for or giving the abuse, you know, to, you know, their supporters are like, yeah, that's hilarious. The right thing to do is to say, no, I'm not going to. And actually, it should have been everybody else. It shouldn't have been up to your mum and dad. In the sidelines, it should have been everybody else in the crowd going. And I think that you're right by standing up and saying, enough is enough. Why should we have to take this?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I suppose personally, I probably would have just tried to, when it was going on, maybe just get another goal or get another point, or just that's how I probably would have tried to react. I mean, it's hard not to react personally, but I know a lot of maybe my teammates and stuff like that would be on the sideline. I know on a few occasions they would have turned around and said to stop, just to give over, essentially, just because it probably, like, hearing that for them isn't nice either. You know, it's someone like, we're obviously very close as a team with club or county, so yeah, I think a lot of maybe my teammates probably would have done stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's a tricky one to deal with, and I think hindsight's a great thing. You know, after it's happened, you kind of look back and say, well, I wish I'd done this, I wish I did that. But I think when it's happening, you're probably, maybe emotions take over and it probably does affect you more so, and probably your reaction isn't how it is after you've looked back on the situation.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I think even by bringing it up now and doing the stuff on TG Car and speaking about it, it gives comfort to people who are going through something similar, and it raises the issue so that sidelines know what to do. And I don't mean that you should have gone over to them and confronted them, but certainly the people on the sideline and the other supporters who were there and the other management teams. And it certainly needs to be something that we have a conversation about, because if we don't talk about this stuff, then we never actually learn from it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as I said, I didn't expect this reaction from it, but I think it's definitely not a bad thing for it to be a topic of conversation and to be talked about. I know I was talking to Gemma Begley there the other day, within the GPA, and she'd said that another Tyrone player had come out about an article that had been written about her as well, to do with weight as well. So look, if it gets a conversation starting, I'm happy with that.
Vicky, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Thanks, William.
Cheers for joining us this morning. That's Vicky Wall, obviously part of the GPA's Next Gen. And I just want to remind everybody that the merger between the GPA and the WGPA has led to almost double the amount of scholarships on offer to women's footballers and camogie players in the country. Obviously, Meath, the 2020 TG Car Intermediate All-Ireland winners. And Vicky was the player of the year, also named at centre forward on that team, having got promotion to the senior ranks as well.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.